Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Ricky Skaggs, who will be coming to the Birchmere in Virginia, I believe, on November 10th and 11th, right? It's two dates, right?
That's right. Two nights.
And what can we expect from you there? A little bit of your signature mandolin, a little bit of fiddle? What do you think?
Well, I'm coming this time. Normally, we come there with Kentucky Thunder, my bluegrass band.
Mm-hmm.
But these two shows are really, really special. It's with my good friend Ry Cooter, who has done so many incredible things musically over the past, 40 years. He's an amazing slide guitar player, just guitar player in general. He's mm-hmm. really amazing. And then my wife, Sharon, who we've been married 34 years and just released a CD last year called Hearts Like Ours. And then the Whites, Sharon's family, Mr. Buck White, he's 84 years old, plays the piano just incredibly, just rocks out on the piano, and then Sharon's sister Cheryl. And so it's called Cooter White Skaggs. And it's Rye's son, Joaquin, plays drums with us, and a good friend of ours, Mark Fain, plays bass. So it's going to be a real that's a fairly small stage over there, so we're going to be packed on there, but it's going to be some incredible music. We've been touring all year long, you know, off and on. I've also been playing a lot of bass with my band, Kentucky Thunder, but this is old, I'd say old music. It's music from the 40s, late 40s, 50s, through the mid-60s, probably. You know,
yeah.
The only thing newer than 1965 is Rye's son, Joaquin, I guess. So, anyway, it's great music. It's country, it's bluegrass, it's gospel. We rock out and, you know, play. Of course, Rye has always been known for much more blues and his slide guitar and that kind of thing, but we just kind of blend it all together. He's had a tremendous love for, you know, for country music and gospel music all of his life, and never had a chance to really play it like this. Anyway, he's never had an environment to really play it in, and but it's great. It's great fun. We're having a ball.
Yeah, sounds like it's a bit of a family and friend affair. All you guys packed mm-hmm. into an intimate setting. That sounds like it'll be awesome.
Yeah. Well, the Birchmere is just a great place to hear music. I mean, people are literally 4 feet away from the stage.
Yeah.
You know, it's really amazing, and it sounds great in there. And so hopefully it'll be two packed nights. You know, so we're excited about getting to come back.
Yeah, we just spoke to, you remember Hal Ketchum? He just played there, and he said the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
He loves how intimate it is there, and I agree. I've been there. You're basically eating dinner right up on the band. It's great.
yeah, and if it's got a little extra garlic, it just really wafts up on the stage.
That's awesome. Is garlic, is that the key to the 14 Grammys, is it?
Well,
I'm kidding.
It's got to be garlic.
Yeah. It's got to be garlic. But man, to hear 14 Grammys, that's insane. I mean, we're basically talking to a legend of the genre here for, you know, country and bluegrass. I actually think you're playing on the 10th and 11th. But aren't the CMAs, I think, that week before? You won Entertainer of the Year, didn't you? Back in the day,
I did back in 1985.
Yeah,
still very proud of that. That's probably the high water mark for country music is to win Entertainer of the Year, and it was a great honor, and you know, my heart has always been to really honor, you know, the past, honor
the history,
the elders and the fathers of the music, you know, and try to keep the old sound fresh and pass it on to the next generation, I think that's all of our hearts. I know it certainly is the Whites, and certainly is, you know, Rye. We love old music, but we like being able to have the freedom to kind of mix it up a little bit and add a little sauce on it, a little hot sauce, and to the music, and get, you know, young people excited about it. You know, the thing about it is we're seeing all age groups is coming out to this show because, like I said, of people love me for bluegrass, and they love the Whites for the gospel stuff, and they love Rye Cooter for his, you know, gosh, he's done so many soundtracks like Paris, Texas and Crossroads.
Yeah, Vim Vendors. Did, yeah.
You know, he's an amazing musician. And, of course, the whole Buena Vista social club thing.
About Cuba, right? Yeah.
Right. Wow. So he's quite a showman, and he's just having a ball playing this old music. It's just really great. I've had him bring his banjo out. He always loved playing banjo when he was, you know, when he was a teenager, and played with Bill Monroe one time, and out in California, Bill needed a banjo player, but he hadn't played it that much in the last few years. But I said, right, bring your banjo out. It'll be perfect for some of this stuff, you know. So he's getting a chance to play a little banjo, so it's fun.
Now, didn't you play at a really young age with Bill Monroe as well? I mean, this is the bluegrass legend, and didn't you play when you were like six?
I was 6 years old, got to stand up there on stage and play his big mandolin. Gosh, well, it was big to my little 6-year-old bony frame, but it was quite a thing. I didn't see him again for about 10 years later when I was with Ralph Stanley. I was 16, but I went up to Mr. Monroe at a show and just kind of reminded him of, you know, of that night, and he remembered.
He remembered it?
Martha. Yep, he sure did. He thought I was much older, though. He said, I think he was 12 or 13, wasn't he? And I said, no, sir, I was six. I mean, I'm only 16 now. What do you mean? It was not 4 years ago.
You looked old for your age, I guess.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I carried it so well, yeah.
And then shortly after that, you also played with Flatten Scruggs, right? I mean, and that's like age 7 or so. So, I mean, you're growing up playing with the legends.
You know, YouTube is a wonderful thing, a wonderful way to discover music, you know, and you can you can have it in the privacy of your own home, and you can just get right in there and just search through music till you fall asleep. It's amazing what all you can find there. But you can find, if you type in Ricky Skaggs and Flatten Scruggs, you'll find me there at 7 years old playing the mandolin, singing Ruby, Are You Mad at Your Man? I didn't know what she was mad about, but I liked that song. And anyway, there's two songs on there, that one and then an instrumental that I did with them. But yeah, that was pretty amazing, you know, that archival stuff has lasted, because so many of those shows got taped over. I mean, it was on videotape, huge big reels, and they would syndicate it, send it out all over the country. It'd play in Nashville, then it would play in Cincinnati, then it would play in Chicago, then it would play, you know, it just went around in the mail, you know, and they would play it. And when it came back to Nashville, back to the home base there, they would re-record over those shows to save money. And so many of those great performances of different people, you know, have been lost.
Yeah.
So what a bummer. But this thing survived, and thank God that it did. I got a chance to see it, and my kids and grandkids now have seen it.
That's so crazy it's still up there. Awesome. Well, I know we got to leave soon. We got about, you know, a minute or two left. I seriously have so much I want to go through with you, but we'll end with maybe a little rapid fire of some of the great artists that you've worked with in your collaborations over the years. Maybe I'll throw out a name. You can just tell me maybe one word or something that comes to your mind. How about that?
Yeah, sounds
all right.
Good.
All right, so Bill Monroe.
Father of bluegrass music, an inspiration that I still, you know, still aspire to. His music was so fresh and so exciting that it you know, touched me as a 6-year old, and I'm still playing from it today.
Flatten Scruggs.
Earl Scruggs was the nucleus that you know, he and Bill Monroe and Lester Flatt all was in the same band at one time, and so that's the music that I, you know, grew up with. It was Earl Scruggs' banjo style that really made bluegrass what we know of today.
They were Foggy Mountain Breakdown, right?
Yeah, they played that song after Earl, you know, wrote that, and gotcha. That was in the Bonnie and Clyde film. Yeah,
great movie. All right, Keith Whitley,
a brother that died way too soon.
You guys met as teens, right?
Yeah, we met each other when we were 15, and wow. I miss him a lot because there was so much music he had left to sing and play, and just a tragic ending to a great life.
Definitely. What an artist, man. Emmylou Harris.
Oh, opened the door for me in country music. Got to play with her. I met her in Washington, D.C. when she lived there. She was playing the Child Herald, a little club downtown on M Street, I think, maybe so. And, yeah. And anyway, met her, and we became great friends. And she gave me a job in 1978 after Rodney Crowell left the band. She needed someone that could play a lot of instruments and sang a lot of high parts, and so that was me. But she opened the door for me to, you know, into the country music world for sure.
She's so great. All right, Vince Gill.
Oh, gosh. Played in my band when he was just a teenager. He played with Boone Creek, a band me and Jerry Douglas had together. And I love Vince. He has done so many great things. He's just a great person and such a talent. He's a great songwriter, great musician, and just an old friend.
And leaving country a bit, Bruce Hornsby.
All my knucklehead friend. I love Bruce. As a matter of fact, I got to call him today. So,
all right.
He's a brilliant piano player that can adapt to any kind of music. There's nothing I don't think that he can't play. I mean, he can play anything from classical music to to cluck old hen on the piano. You know, he's an amazing player. We've done two albums together, two CDs, and we always love getting to play with Bruce. He always shakes it up a little bit.
All right, and the last one, didn't you play with Jack White as well?
Yeah, I did one thing with him called Old Enough. They had the Raconteurs had a song on a record called Old Enough. I think it could have been even the title of the record. But he wanted to do a bluegrass version of that, kind of an acoustic-type version. So they called me up and wanted to know if I'd be part of it, and I, you know, agreed to do it. So it was a fun thing.
All right. Well, thanks so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it. You know, any final things you want to say about the Birchmere show or how it, you know, if they're watching the CMAs and they're all getting jazzed up about country, why should they then come out and see you guys the next week?
Because what they'll see in us is real country. What they will see on the CMAs is not real country. It is something else.
It's a whole new genre now.
not to be disrespectful at all, and
sure.
I'm not trying to be, but the music that they'll hear at the Birchmere is the roots. It is everything from Hank Williams to Hank Snow to Kitty Wells, the Lubin Brothers, Merle Travis. I mean, it's we're doing music for, like I said, from the 40s, 50s, and 60s when country music was really, you know, defining itself, and I think they're going to really enjoy it.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it. It's an absolute honor, and best of luck at the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Jason.
All right, everybody. Ricky Skaggs on WTOP.